Stevie Wiebe here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to sports reporter Helen Yee. My favorite part of her interview was her talking about being a two-time state champion in swimming and also being on the same team as my brother's girlfriend, Kalila Kuhn. That was crazy to find out. So thanks for tuning in. Peace. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah. So this is fine. So thanks for doing this. I really appreciate your time.
Of course.
We have Helen Yee, a sports reporter. And then you have your own thing going called Eyes on the Game.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I just wanted to, you know, get some just background history. Like, where are you originally from?
Born and raised here in Las Vegas, but my dad's from China and my mom's from Taiwan. So I'm Chinese, but born and raised in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's what's up. Were there a lot of Asians at your high school?
You know what? Yeah, there was, but I kind of floated around because I was an athlete when I was younger. So I would float between like the athletes, you know, the agent, you know, everyone was in cliques in high school.
Oh yeah. I wrestled in high school.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. At a really pretty strong curriculum. We're known for our high school wrestling.
Oh, that's awesome.
In California. Yeah. Yeah. And you swam.
Yes, I swam, but what's crazy, because you asked me if there were a lot of Asians. There were a lot of Asians, like, with my name, but it would be, like, the last name is Lee.
I'm a Lee.
I'm a Yee.
Yeah, I know.
It rhymes.
Yeah, E and Lees. So were there, in my high school, it was predominantly, because, you know, it was, like, you know, mostly, I think, Caucasian. There was a pocket of Asians, but it was mostly like a white high school.
You know, yeah, but it's like they kind of all hung out with each other. So,
oh, yeah.
And then everyone, we would have like the pens that were like pandas or, you know, Sailor Moon and stuff like that. So everyone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Felt like there were a lot, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And then so how did you actually get into swimming?
Well, I know. I mean, I know I may not look like a swimmer anymore, but when I was 5 years old, my parents, I would get sick, like, very easily, weak immune system. So my parents were like, you know, let's get you into sports, get, you know, you stronger and healthier. And then little did they know, my sister and I, she's 2.5 years older than me, we became pretty good at it. And then I became a nationally ranked age group swimmer when
Whoa.
I was there. Yeah, my former, like, teammates and stuff, and even people I've raced against, they're Olympians now.
Whoa, did you get a scholarship to colleges?
You know what? I did. I've gotten scholarship letters back then when they used to mail you letters ever since I was in, like, middle school, like, eighth or ninth grade.
Yeah, I got one from Cornell. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
You got one from Cornell?
I got one for
wrestling.
Oh, my God.
But I was 100 pounds, and I choked at the state tournament.
No way.
I was ranked second in California, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I choked.
Hey, it's all good. We all choke at something, right?
So. I always choke at the state tournament, though. Always. I won San Diego County. I always choked at state. Always.
But what's important is that you learn from it, right?
I turned to drugs and alcohol.
And a pretty cool, like, studio setup. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know what? I think everything is meant to happen for a reason. Because I was, like, in Arizona, I could have died. Like, I was starving out there. I went to ASU, Arizona State,
okay,
and I had the shittiest, like, meal plan card.
Uh-huh.
So I would have to sneak in the cafeteria. Like, I would steal bananas.
Oh.
Yeah, I was starving.
Oh, speaking of starving, there were days when I first started sports reporting, and
yeah.
I was struggling. I was, like, working, you know, my full-time job and trying to do this. But then when I quit my full-time job, I was struggling so bad that for food, I was like, you know what? You know, in Walmart, they have like the big brand, the Great Value saltine crackers.
Oh, yeah, and, all day.
Yeah. And I don't know what I was thinking, but I was like, okay, this can last me a week, you know, because it comes with like all those.
So you would just eat those straight?
Yeah, I know.
I have soup or nothing?
No, I like them raw, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so we have that in common. And you know, that kind of builds character, don't you think though? Like knowing both sides of the track.
Yes. And sleeping in your car.
Oh, you did that?
Oh my God. I was so scared because I was in California trying to do an interview.
Yeah.
And by that time it was like, I couldn't afford a hotel. All my friends, I already asked to sleep on their couch like 10 times already. So I'm like, I can't, you know, continue to sleep on people's couches or floors. So yeah, I remember parking, like, you know, just trying to, cause California finding parking is hard enough.
Oh, tickets galore.
Yeah. So I'm like, where can I park? But then I don't want people to think like, you know, I'm not okay. You know, in my car. Like,
overnight. And then there's sketchy heads out there too, as far as break-ins or.
Yeah, I was really
predatorial behavior and all that.
Yeah, I see. You know what I'm talking about. You've done this too.
I didn't live in my car, but like I lived in a really shitty apartment in Arizona, and I worked at. Do you know what Circle K is?
Yes, they have one here.
Yeah, it's like a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
So I worked the graveyard shift at Circle K, and it was sketchy. Like, you know, cats would like come in and steal a beer.
Oh, I thought you meant cats.
Oh, no, people. I mean, not actual cats. No, not feeling. No. People, sketchy individuals would go steal stuff, but I would steal stuff as well because I was, you know, I would steal like the frozen pizzas and hot dogs just to survive.
And then you heat the pizza up though, right?
No. So what happened was I'm sober now. I wasn't sober back then.
Good. I'm proud of you.
Drinking and smoking weed and doing drugs and everything. I'm sober like over 10 years now. But back then, like I would do little deals.
Like
drop a little, like a little nugget of weed. And then I would look the other way and I would let them take some beer. And so there's a policy there too when Like a six pack of Budweiser, if you drop one, you would have to put it in the back stock room. I would bring my backpack in there and then, cause it would be like a five pack, but then I would take those in my backpack.
Got it. Wow. Very, that's good to know. It's like, I would see in movies, you know, like, oh, this is how you do if you want drugs or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sober now. I probably owe them an amends. This was a long time ago. But another time I was rolling a joint in the freezer, the cooler.
Yeah.
Because it was like 3-4 in the morning and my boss caught me red-handed. And guess what he did?
What?
He grabbed the joint and he smoked it with me and he goes, make sure that you stock aisle, you know, that the first aisle, you know, and then he left.
That's a cool boss.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. I would have worked here for life.
Yeah. I ended up getting fired. I got fired from a lot of jobs. Did you work regular? Like, did you work in like any regular job, like restaurant or?
Yeah, I've had numerous. My first job ever when I was 15 and a half, I was a lifeguard. And then.
That's a cool job.
Well, the only thing I knew how to do was swim. So,
yeah.
So I lifeguarded. Then I lifeguarded at a casino on the strip, at a hotel casino.
What was it like working in on the Vegas strip? There's a lot of schemes going on, right? Like. Hustles, a lot of hustles, right?
Oh, yeah. That I could go on for hours, you know, but I don't know if I want all this.
I'm just curious. Tell me one or two.
I mean, well, what kind of like hustling, you know?
Like to get money. I'm sure there's, you know, there's like, you know, valet cats who, like, you know what I mean? They could.
Oh yeah, yeah. They,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, call their friend. Oh, you need.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I got your back.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of that stuff, the undercover. Even I also worked front desk on the strip, and like I was a front desk agent, and they would slip you, you know, like $20 bills, $50 bills, then you upgrade them to a suite or you comp them to buffets. Yeah, there's like little tricks.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie Casino?
You're gonna hate me. No.
Okay, but go watch it. It's a great movie with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. But they it's kind of glamorized, but it's like really interesting because it's all about Vegas.
So it's like that too.
Yeah, there's a more high end like schemes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like on like a higher scale where like, you know, they like kind of like. They trick these Japanese businessmen of staying longer and gambling more to take their money, like that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's probably that stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah. So you worked in a couple casinos. Have you worked in the restaurant business as well?
I have. So I've served food as well. And I've even
worked.
Yeah. Nice. Did you like it? You got to eat on it. Back.
Hated it. I was fired from every food job.
Oh, damn. Why? You ate all the
food? I'm just bad in the food business.
Okay.
IHOP, P.F. Chang's, Tempe Improv, you name it. I've been there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I've done that. I've even done beverage serving, cocktail server. I've done that on the pool, in the strip, like on the strip, sorry, not in the strip. Never done strip club stuff. Yeah, on the pool, in the hotel, nightclub. That was, you know, when I turned 21, just because everyone said, you know, oh, when you turn 21 and you live in Vegas, and I was born and raised there. And you
got to go there to get the money?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to try it out to see, like, what are people talking about, right?
Right.
And so I've done that, but I've done, like, hotel stuff. I've done insurance stuff. I've done like a lot of jobs. Yeah.
So my next question, how did you transition from that life to where you're at now? Cause that's a drastic change, wouldn't you say? I mean, cause you're on TV, you're interviewing like Diego Sanchez and UFC fighter. Like, when did that happen?
Well, when I was 22, and this is pretty weird, but it relates back to when I was a swimmer for 10 years, like my whole childhood, all I knew how to do was eat, sleep, and swim. So I was very shy, though, and I hated being shy, and I could not talk to people. Like, I would pray. Yeah, I would pray and wish I would be invisible in class, that my teacher, other students can't see me. Yeah, like that's how afraid I was.
How'd you get over that?
Well, so then because I hated myself and the only thing that made me feel comfortable was swimming, was, you know, doing a sport. Something. So I always loved sports and growing up, you know, I watched like NBA, NFL, MLB, like everything, you know, with my dad, my younger brother.
Oh, you say NBA?
Oh, hell yeah.
I just interviewed Terrence Ross from the Orlando Magic.
How is that?
That's the homie.
Nice.
I met him playing Warzone.
Where?
Playing video games.
Oh, online?
Yeah. Well, he was a fan of the podcast, but then he hollered at me, and now, like we talk on Instagram.
That's, you know what's crazy? One of someone that lives near me, he plays video games with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Yeah, you know who else? Max Holloway.
Yeah.
He actually streams Warzone. Did you know that?
I think I do, Max Holloway.
Yeah, he's into gaming, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Isn't that a trip?
You good gamer or no?
No, I'm horrible. No, I just play for fun. No, I'm bad.
Okay.
I like playing, though.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I play Mortal Kombat.
I remember all that. Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. Yeah, I remember all that. The arcades.
Yeah, and then you try to dress up as them for Halloween.
Oh, yeah, Blanca or Ryu. Yeah.
Kung Pao.
Oh, for real, yeah. Chun-Li, all that.
Yeah.
So So sports actually helped your anxiety, your social anxiety. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So then, but when I was 22, you know, and I'm like cocktail waitressing, trying whatever. I hated being so shy. I couldn't even order fast food like at a drive-through. I hated speaking. My teachers would yell at me for mumbling. It was kind of like a big phobia of mine and like one of my biggest fears in life. So I was like, you know what? I hate myself for this. So this podcast, or not podcast, because that's like the era now, but back then it was like radio stuff. So internet radio show, they asked me to be one of their co-hosts with these two other women. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to talk about fashion or anything or entertainment. I want to talk about sports because that's what I love. And then they're like, okay, so, you know, you could try it out. So then I tried it and the producer was like, wow, you suck. And I was like,
oh, that's what he said?
Yeah. Well, he didn't feel like you suck, but he was like, Helen, you know, you're not that good at this, you know? And yeah. And then
he didn't want to. Discouraging. I thought you'd tell me the opposite. But
no.
Continue. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Then I think from my competitive nature, I was like, oh, okay, he wants to say I'm not good at this. Let me purposely do this because I want to be good. So then I created my own sports radio show, Eyes on the Game.
You're the founder.
Yes, the founder. Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, I started with another co-host because I wanted, you know, someone to balance like.
Another female? Yeah.
No, actually a male.
Oh, mother, because, can we give him a shout out real quick?
Oh, to the guy?
Yeah,
well, he quit on me.
We won't shout him out then. Okay.
Because he thought I sucked too. He's like, Helen, you're crazy. You think you could do this like forever? And yeah, it's a long story.
Doing well now.
Yeah, I mean, after sleeping in my car, all that roller coaster. Yeah, thankfully. But
yeah.
So I created my show and then I did that, but then I was working, you know, full time, all my like jobs and stuff. And I think so from there, 2015, it got picked up. So it went from internet radio to AM radio to NBC Sports. And then in 2016, in May, Floyd Mayweather Sr. told me that his son would be coming out coming out of retirement to fight an MMA fighter. I said,
that was Conor
McGregor. Yeah.
I saw that fight.
Yeah, I was
that
there.
That was one of the biggest fights ever.
I know, it was so historic. And from there, like my interviews were picked up from TMZ, you know, Fox Sports, ESPN, and it really, I credit that to my life. Thank you, Floyd Mayweather Sr.
So that's the start. That's what kind of like it bubbled after that. Like,
oh yeah, everything was like domino after that. Then, you know, I got like hired with, you know, like the radio station full time. I've done stuff.
NBC and Fox Sports as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible.
Thank you. I mean,
so like, what do your folks think of like your, where, I mean, they must be proud of how far you've come. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, when I was younger, I thought I would be an Olympian too. Like that was my dream. And like I said, you know, and even like winning state as a junior, like I thought, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be an athlete for the rest of my life, or athlete, then become a coach. So then, you know, when I don't want to blame anybody, but just when that was not possible anymore, out of my control, I, you know, lost my identity, didn't know who I was, and then I, you know, did all those jobs, bleached my hair blonde, just, you know, didn't know what to do. So then when I started the sports stuff, my dad, you know, they were very hesitant at first, thinking like, the hell, like, you know, we know no one in this business, we, you know, like, we're not even from America. Like, it's going to be very hard to.
Yeah, and Asian parents, they get shook easy, and they want either you to be a doctor or a lawyer or some shit like that. Yeah.
So, it was like they were so shook. It was like an earthquake, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there were some times when I had to distance myself a little bit just because I needed to be around, you know,
supportive people.
Yes, but I will say things come full circle, and my parents and I were best friends today, and they're supportive. Yeah.
You know, the thing about Asians, I don't want to stereotype or generalize, but for the most part, my experience is Asian parents, as far as, you know, careers or, you know, occupations that we choose, they only start paying attention once they see some money.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, that's what they respect. Because you think, you know, they're from different countries, and that's the only thing that resonates. They don't respect, like, you climbing up the mountain. They only like it when they're like, oh, you know, they're at the top now, and I can see them with money. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, with Hongbao, like the red envelopes, you know?
Oh, yeah. Explain that to the viewers again, because I don't think a lot of people, like, well, what is that?
For Chinese New Year, they, like, your elders, if you're single, I mean, you can be in a relationship. And this is, like, from my understanding, because once you're married, then you don't get it anymore. But the older generations give it to, like, their nephews, nieces, and stuff. And they
It's like a red envelope, right?
With money, yeah.
With money.
Yeah. I never got the most. Some of my, like, friends when I was in high school, they would get, like, thousands of dollars. I'm like, what the hell? I got some
in the envelope?
In the envelopes.
How much did you get? Couple hundy. Couple
hundy. That, you know, it's like, oh, another $1, $1.
Yeah. So what's the purpose of that? Is that just out of respect, or is that a custom in Chinese custom? Because I'm Korean, I never got that.
Oh, you guys don't have those?
Koreans don't do that. I mean, they'll give you like you know, they'll give you a hundi, but they don't have
they give you
an envelope.
So they just give it to you just because?
It's like my uncles or whatever, they'll be like, here's a 20, or here, go get some candy at 7-Eleven. You know what I mean? That type of thing.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah, but what's cooler is getting an envelope filled with $1,000 bills. That's what's cool.
Well, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, I need that.
So when you're at that level, would you have to do that to your kids or your family members? You're going to have to do that to them?
Yeah.
It's custom.
Yes.
And what's the name of that tradition again?
Oh, it's for Chinese New Year.
Yeah, but what's it called? You had
Hongbao. That means red envelope.
Say it again.
Hongbao.
Oh, Hongbao.
Yeah, close.
Okay.
Hongbao. Yeah.
So next time I get a Chinese guest on here, I'll be like, bring the Hongbao.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bring
it on my platform. I only accept the Hongbao.
Yes.
Yeah. Cash. I would never do that.
Dollar bills only.
I would never do that. I'm ecstatic because this is historical for my platform, because, you know, I had Terrence Ross, but I really haven't had a lot of sports people on my podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, so you're one of the first, actually, yeah. I've had skateboarders, DJs, rappers, musicians, comedians, but artists, but, like, you're actually just top because, yeah, Terrence was the first. I think you're like top three. Yeah, you're the second one.
Oh, I feel honored.
Thanks for doing it. So, and I'm also really hyped because I've been following Ultimate Fighting, or even before UFC, I was watching Pride Fighting.
Yes.
Do you know
one of the OGs?
You remember that?
Of course I do. And WBC, Strikeforce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is great because I want to transition into mixed martial arts. Who are some of the coolest cats you've interviewed?
You know what? I will say this just because when my show, when I had a co-host, you know, when I first started Eyes on the Game, I will tell you, and I know right now he may be I don't know how people may feel about, you know, politics or whatever, but I don't talk publicly about politics and I never will, but
me neither. I
will say a good story about Tito Ortiz. And why I say this is because back in 2014, when I first got my show, you know, starting off and talking on the mic for like 1 minute felt like 7 hours, you know, you're like, oh my God, you're sweating and everything. And I had my co-host at the time and I asked Tito if he could come on my show because, you know, obviously I've watched a lot of his fights, you know, throughout the
year. Chuck Liddell, classics.
Oh, hell yeah.
Classic.
So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, Tito's one of my first ever guests of me doing radio. And I was like, I don't know how this stuff works. Like, I'm kind of winging it, right? So then he calls in and everything's good. And then the call gets lost, like it drops. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like sweating. Like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. Like, I've never done this before. How, like, what do I do? And then he calls back, apologizes, and was like, just so generous with his time and stuff. And just very kind. And I will never forget that because that's when I first started and I was so nervous out of my mind, like sweating bullets. So
yeah,
that's my Tito story. That's why I'll always be grateful.
I have a Tito story too.
Yeah.
So I was in Vegas with my brother. He was doing shows. It was for some UFC kind of event or something. And it was some press conference or something. And I was sitting in a row and I think I was sitting in his seat, but he like was sitting right next to me.
Okay.
And I just remember like sweating and like nervous. I couldn't even look that way. And he took up half my seat because he's got a big build. And so I was like literally just on the edge. I was on the edge of my seat, just sweating.
Oh, wow. Well, did you talk to him?
I didn't say nothing.
Wow.
So he took half my seat.
Oh. So it's like a seat warmer.
Yeah.
Guys share seats, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, he's a legend. I respect all the OGs in the game.
So Tito, another one, Tony Ferguson.
Fan. I'm a fan of his.
Huh?
I'm a fan.
Oh, yeah. I freaking love Tony. He's so awesome. Mm-hmm. So interviewing him, yeah, that was when did I first interview him? In my early days when I first started my on camera stuff.
Yeah.
Pure radio, then transition on camera. Tony, super nice. And shout out to his wife, Christina. She's so nice too.
So they're really polite, huh?
Such nice people.
You think it'd be the opposite because they fight for a living, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but honestly, like 99.9% of them are such great people. To Anderson Silva, when I interviewed
him. You interviewed Anderson Silva?
Yeah.
How was he?
Amazing. So freaking nice. So funny. Even like Yoel Romero, you would think like.
I mean, that guy looks like a monster.
He's
buff.
Yeah, he's funny. Yoel tried to teach me how to salsa dance. I can't.
What?
Dance. Yeah.
Oh, so they're sweetie pies.
Super sweet, yeah.
Oh, they're sweet people.
Yes, very
nice. That blows my mind because my whole idea about all of these fighters are like, these guys are just rough around the edges and just, because I see some of the, you know, like, the interviews and the, you know how they talk shit back and forth to the other fighter.
Yeah.
But that's just for show, huh?
No, or you know, that could or could not be. I think it depends.
It's psychological. But, it's a mind games.
Yeah, but I mean at least like to reporters or in my experiences, because I can only speak for my own experiences.
Yeah.
It's been nothing but like just super polite, friendly,
that's
generous.
So refreshing to hear. That's awesome. Now, like other females and males in your field, is there rivalry between you guys or is everyone cool with each other?
No, I mean, at least to me, everyone's been cool with me. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, you know, I'm pretty laid back. I go there and want to just do my job, work hard.
Yeah.
You know, keep to myself. And yeah.
Is Ariel Helwani, is he cool?
I don't see him around as much anymore.
Yeah, but he's one of the biggest ones, right? Because I always see cats on, people on his platform.
Cats equals people. Okay, now I know. I wrote that down.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm the only one that says that. I'm sorry, I'll start saying people.
Oh, yeah. No, I like that word, okay. Cat.
Yeah.
But, he's been nice to me.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Because I noticed with him, I'm sure he's cool with other reporters or whatnot, but, like, I know Dana White's had problems with him, and he's had problems with other fighters, you know? Like,
yeah, you know what?
Interview with the Diaz brothers or, like, Nigga, yeah. One of them.
Well, I think when I started covering the sport and coming on the scene more, I think that's when Ariel was starting to, that was like towards his end. Cause I feel like he's never at events, at least during this pandemic, you know, like we were in Fight Island, he wasn't there and stuff. And so I haven't seen him around as much anymore. But I do remember, yeah, when he got banned and stuff.
Yeah. One of my all-time favorite fighters are the Diaz brothers. Have you interviewed them?
No, I have not. But when I turned 25, who was it? Because I posted this photo because when I turned 25, I think I had a mutual friend and they were partying with Nick Diaz. So then we it was at one of the nightclubs in Vegas. So we all just hung out for a little bit. Like, no, just, you know, at the club because we had the mutual friends.
Yeah.
And I think who, but he was super nice too.
He was super nice?
Yeah.
So both of them, Nate and Nick?
Nate, from what I've seen, he's been nice, but I have not interviewed them yet. I really want to though.
Oh, you got to. That's got to be on your bucket list.
They're probably one of the only ones I haven't really interviewed because I've interviewed, you know, from Habib to John Jones, Stipe, DC, you know, like I'm grateful I've been able to interview a lot, but yeah, Nick and Nate Diaz, I have not yet. That's all my
elusive, question. Like they're interesting people too. Like, you know, you could tell they're like, they kind of do their own thing as well.
Yeah. And they keep it real. Just like
when I went
to Diego Sanchez, he said he respects that. Like they stay
true. I saw that on your Instagram. I respect, you know, that made sense to me because I've always thought of Diego in that, you know, he's always been real like that too.
He is. And one of the OGs, right?
Even before he fought BJ Penn, you know, like when he was like, yes, you know, like I'm like, that's not an act, he's like really being himself, you know?
Oh yeah, no, Diego, he's awesome.
Now have you interviewed BJ Penn?
I have.
What was he like?
Tim Ruka, just super nice, very laid back.
Oh, so you're collaborating with Ruka?
No, I wasn't, but I interviewed him at Ruka.
At Ruka in Orange County, huh?
Yes, shout out to Jason Carlo.
And Pat, too.
And who? Yes, Pat.
Yeah, Pat, yeah.
Yes, but because I have a good relationship with Jason Carlo. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, then, you know, I was able to interview BJ Penn.
Yeah, but legend.
Beautiful gym. You know, it's like very white and clean.
Yeah, I've been there. There's like an octagon in there. And I had a tour of that place as well.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. Really cool facility. Yeah. As far as like your future, where do you see, how has COVID like kind of changed this, the whole scene of reporting and what you do for a living?
That's a great question because I was working at the radio station, like I mentioned, full time. My show was on NBC Sports radio, and I think COVID in many ways sped up the inevitable, right? Because now I think, especially in 2020, we're in the more digital era, right? Oh. We're doing stuff, even like you, like I've seen your stuff on your YouTube.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You like it?
Of course. That's hard. Yeah, like, oh, he wants to do an interview? Oh, hell yeah.
I'm winging it every week. I'm winging it.
Well, you do a great job winging it, but
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm still trying.
Yeah, well, keep up the good work.
Thank you, Helen. I really appreciate that, Helen. Thank you.
Yeah, but you know how, like I mentioned, with YouTube, and when I worked at the radio station, I could tell radio was almost, you know, it's like, let's be real, right? Who really reads the newspaper or, like, gets a newspaper sent to their door?
This ain't 1980 anymore. We're in the digital. They just go on the internet now. Yeah. So
during this COVID era, my boyfriend and I, he goes by the Schmo. We started a podcast.
Can we shout him out? Can we promote it real quick?
Yeah. The Schmo Zone podcast.
Spell it out for the viewers and listeners. I want them to get it.
Okay. THE space. SCHMOZONE. The Schmoze.
Name. What? How did you come up with that?
Well, he goes by the Schmo, and he wears like big yellow glasses, which I have to say, because I saw your brother Bobby wear yellow glasses, and I was like, what? Like, my boyfriend wears yellow glasses too, and he's been wearing them since he was born. Like,
That's
I've seen
crazy. Him. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
so you know about my brother and his podcast as well?
Oh, yeah. You know what's crazier about your brother and his podcast?
Kalila was a swimmer, too, just to let you know.
She was on my team.
What?
Damn Pipers. Yeah, dude, tell her what the fuck.
Whoa. I'm a texter.
Yeah, seriously. Like,
you're on Kalila's swim team?
Yes. Like,
well,
am
you
I
know Kawinda too?
Friends.
You know Kawinda?
Yes.
You know
older
sisters?
Yes.
Oh, so we're basically family.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's up.
That's crazy. Small world, right?
I'm gonna let her know that tonight. Wow.
I know. Yeah. So my name's Helen. My sister's name's Michelle. Michelle Yee, Helen Yee, Yee sisters, Coon sisters. We were both on Sandpipers.
The Yee sisters and the Coon sisters were on the same team.
Yes. And wow. Yeah, I remember the coach she swam with, Ron, and her sister, I think. Well, I was like super, super young. So I think the sister, like I saw more of Kalila.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking when she first joined Sandpipers, like, holy crap, she's freaking fast.
Dude, they were about it.
They're
good swimmers, huh?
But I seen with my two eyes, you know, they were freaking good.
I think they were just trained because, you know, their mom was like really about them like advancing in their skills and stuff at a young age. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong though, like their mom was an integral part of their development.
Yes. And right. Again, like she and her sister, I looked up to her swimming, like she was really, really fast.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm so glad you just solidified it because I've heard stories, but then hearing it from you, I'm like, oh, wow, they're on the same team. That's great. I mean, what are the odds?
Same time. How weird, right? So we are related. It's like
that's so crazy.
Yeah,
hop on Tiger Bell and get a little reunion going, a little swim.
I would love to catch up with her.
I'm gonna holler at her tonight. What's the name of the alma mater of the high school?
Her high school,
or like the team you're on, like
Sandpipers.
Sandpapers.
Yeah, it's a bird, I think.
Okay,
right?
So shout out to the Sandpapers.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Paper, yeah.
Wow, you just blew my mind. I had no idea. Oh, you know, it was in the back of my mind. I was going to bring it up at the beginning, but I'm like, she might know, she might not know. But that's crazy because you guys were on the same team.
Yeah, the swim community is very small. And because I'm sure you guys know she was in Vegas, you know, for a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when she was on Sandpipers.
Were you guys friends?
Yeah, she was friends with my sister, Michelle.
I'm going to write that down, Michelle and Helen.
Michelle with two L's and Helen with one.
That's so crazy. I'm gonna hit her up tonight. That's crazy. What a small world.
I know. I hope she's good.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I knew she was good because we've taken trips together. Like, we went to Mexico and then, like, her and her sister could really dive, like they were like really going deep in the water, and I'm like, I was, me and my girl were just like barely like just waving barely around, yeah, wailing around, but they were like going way deep in the water, and like their form was like just perfect.
Yeah, no, they're great swimmers. But I'm saying, I hope she's doing good.
Oh yeah, they're doing good. Yeah, their podcast is killing it.
In the world, right?
Oh no, they're doing good. They're doing good. Yeah, no, they're doing well. Yeah. I want to go back to, okay, so how often, when do you guys post your podcast, and where can people like check that? Is that on YouTube?
Yeah, so it's on the Schmoes YouTube. You know, S-C-H-M-O, the T-H-E, yeah. So yeah, it's on the Schmoes YouTube. That's where the podcast, every Tuesday, a new episode drops. So today, a new episode dropped with number 13 ranked bantamweight, Marab, who trains with Aljamain Sterling.
So you're interviewing fighters?
Huh?
You're interviewing fighters?
Yes. So we've had from like Dana White to Paulo Costa, like every week to Uriah Faber. It's like, so far, yeah, mainly MMA fighters and boxers, yeah.
You gotta get Justin Gaethje.
I know, we gotta get him in studio, because a lot of people,
that guy's a beast.
Yeah, we've interviewed them, like, so my boyfriend has his channel, you know, and he does, like, interviews, he's a sports personality,
yeah.
And then my channel, so we both, and my channel's Helene Sports.
Yeah. So,
we both do our separate interviews, and then separate. We come together as a team every Tuesday and do our podcast.
Just out of curiosity, who do you think would win that fight? When Khabib and Gaethje fight, who's going to win that?
You know what? You're going to hate me for saying a very politically correct answer, but may the best man win.
That's your answer?
Yeah. I mean, that's all I'm going to say, you know, with it recorded, just because, you know,
I've thought
respect for both of them.
I've thought a lot about the strategies and the styles of both fighters. Mm-hmm. I think that if Gaethje can stop Khabib's takedown.
Yes.
Because I personally think Gaethje's better on his feet. I know Khabib. Yeah. With that shovel uppercut, whatever that punch he hit him with, but Gaethje is a beast in my opinion.
Yes, very exciting fighter to watch, and super nice as well.
Yeah, and not only that, he actually wrestled. He was an All-American Division One wrestler.
I know, and I think that's where a lot of people fail to remember that.
They gotta look at that. That's more, in my opinion, that's more than half the skill set. Because if they can take you down, you can't hit, you know what I mean? And they have a good jiu-jitsu game, you know?
Yeah. So I'm very, you know, obviously excited to see how that fight plays out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm very curious to see how it plays out because of the stylistic matchup.
I have to be honest with you. I'm a fan of Khabib. I am. But with this scenario, since I wrestled in high school and I kind of, you know, in the, you know, the collegiate high school system, I have to root for Gaethje on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I'm wishing it's going to be a great fight no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
But I believe that because Khabib, but this is the thing, Khabib's wrestling is so unorthodox because, you know, that Russian sambo, that whole style is different than Division One, you know, high school, you know, Division One wrestling. It's a different thing, you know?
Yeah, well.
It's more like Greco-Roman, and it, like Khabib's is more like Greco-Roman because it's like upper body locks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And Gaethje is your just conventional, regular collegiate one, high school wrestling, double legs, high crotches, singles, and stuff like that.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm a fan. That's
no,
all.
I know, and I love it. And again, I mean, I wish I could say more, but it's because, you know, I interview both of them.
I totally understand. Yeah, I totally understand.
So I don't want.
Yeah, no, you're just playing. Yeah, you're just.
Them to like
say one or the other, yeah.
So but the on the same card, right? Tony Ferguson, Dustin Poirier. Mm-hmm. How upset were you, though, that Tony and Khabib?
I wanted that fight so bad.
We all did.
I mean, I was upset that that never went down because that was like their boat. You know what I'm saying? That should have happened.
I know.
Yeah. Is that ever going to happen? I mean, because, well, Tony just got beat up. I mean.
He's fighting Poirier.
Dustin?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting because they've both kind of been, they're not newbies. They've been around.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, I think Dustin, obviously a great fighter, great striker.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. I've never really been a Dustin fan. I've been a Tony fan.
Yeah, Tony.
I'm rooting for Ferguson on that one.
It's a great fight.
Okay, so, man, this flew by because we're already kind of past, you know, because I keep my Zooms at like 45, 50 minutes, and we're already at the 45 mark.
Oh, okay.
Did that just fly by or what?
Yeah.
At this point, I wanted to promote everything you got going on, your social, your website, your eyes on the game, where, you know, that the whole thing. So go ahead.
Yeah, so you can follow me on my social media and my YouTube channel. It's Helen Yee with two E's, sports. And so that's my YouTube and my website, HelenYeeSports.com. Mm-hmm. You can follow my podcast that I do with my boyfriend at The Schmo Zone.
Spell it out again.
THESCHMOZONE. And if you like sports comedy, you can follow my boyfriend as well at The
Schmo. Yeah, give him a shout out. Yeah,
shout out to The Schmo who has the same glasses as Bobby. Tell him, too.
That's crazy. That
I wonder where he got his glasses.
Oh, I don't know. My brother gets a bunch of, he buys shit all, yeah, he shops. I don't know. Half the time, I mean, he's got so many shoes, I don't even know where he gets his shoes from.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
My
boyfriend.
I don't know. And maybe in the future, do you think your boyfriend would hop on this to?
Oh, I'm sure he could.
Let him know. I was asking for him.
Yeah, I'll pull a few strings.
Yeah, thank you. Just have a little chat with him.
I will. Just for you.
Thank you so much. So, do you have a website at all? Or?
Yeah, HelenYeeSports.com.
And then where they could buy a t-shirt or something
on it? No, that's on The Schmo Zone.
Okay, so but you do have a t-shirt available?
T-shirt of me?
Or just whatever, any kind of merch you got.
Yeah, so that's on theschmozone.com. So everything, we just started merch. So get yours now. You can buy, you know, The Schmo Zone t-shirts. There's The Schmo mask. Of face shields, because we all know better to be safe than sorry, right? Gotta follow the rules.
Yes, ma'am.
And then there will be more, you know, designs and stuff coming out soon.
Awesome. So get your shirt today. Okay. Yes.
You should have had it yesterday.
No doubt. And I appreciate your time for doing the podcast as well.
Of course, I had fun.
Kyla, I'm gonna let her know. Like, I'm like, dude.
Yeah, tell Kyla.
Seriously, your homie.
Seriously, it's I haven't seen her in what, like 12 years. I feel.
Oh, y'all need to get together.
I know. I mean, she may
have like a swim party or something. Do some laps.
Yeah, a swim party. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and aren't you guys in California?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there like all the time.
Oh, you got to hop on Tiger Belly as well. Like, she'll definitely want you on.
Yeah, that would be fun. Because
there's that connection, you know what I mean?
I know, it's crazy.
But thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for doing the Stevie Weeby show first.
Well, thank you, Stevie Weeby, for having me. You do a great job. And
thank you.
The setup, it's in your room.
Yeah, I live in a little studio. Little apartment, yeah. One room. Awesome.
Very organized.
As long as I'm surviving.
Hey, that's what matters, right?
Yeah.
Staying positive.
Be grateful for the roof over your head. That's all.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Helen. The best of luck to you in your future podcasts and reporting.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Peace. Okay. Okay, so that was the Helen Yee episode. I wanted to, before I let y'all go, I wanted to give a couple shout outs, especially to the newest patrons. The newest patrons this week are Brian, Joe Tresnick, Alex, Amig, 7O, Ross F, and the newest one today, Lisa Trejo. Thank you. If you want to support the platform and keep this going, go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby. I have a website, steviewebyshow.com. Pick up a shirt today. Just to let y'all know, the shipping might be a little delayed because of the pandemic and all. My music's at steviewebybandcamp.com. We're still working on the music video, The Pod in Which We Travel. We're working on post-production on that. I have a P.O. Box too. I do a series called Stevie's P.O. Box. If you want to send letters or packages, send all of your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. There is no Little Raised World. We're taking a little break from it because I'm starting to get my mind on other music. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.